Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. So let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
This morning, I want to talk to you from the subject, wake up the word. Say that with me, wake up the word. We're going to go into something really interesting this morning. But you know, Matthew chapter 8 is an interesting passage. But you know, here's the thing. The truth of the matter is, if you're a child of God and you've been born again, you've been adopted into the family of God through the blood of Jesus, then here's the thing. You have purpose. You have value. God has an assignment for your life. And I want you to know that just as assured that there is a God, there is a devil. And he is our adversary. The scripture says that our adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He is running to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. This adversary, the devil, has one intention in mind, and that is to totally sideline us and get us off of track for the plan of God for our lives. And so because of that, listen, when the enemy wants to frustrate the plans of God, he sends storms into our lives, doesn't he? The enemy sends storms into our lives. And there's all types of storms that break in and crash over the shores of our life. There are storms of financial trouble. Surely we've all faced those. There's storms of marriage troubles. There's storms of sickness and so on. Listen, the devil has no new tricks. The same things that he's been doing all the way back in Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelation, are the same exact things that the enemy is doing today. He is using the same tools and the same tactics to wreak havoc on your and I's life. But you know, Matthew chapter 8 is a really great passage because it's actually sandwiched, if you will, in between two different things. Matthew chapter 8, it also shows us how the disciples were called to follow Jesus. Now, how many of you know that when Jesus was ministering to his disciples, that he said, come and follow me. And so they followed him on this journey. So much today, we've put emphasis in the church world today on salvation of pray this prayer and you're all good. But Jesus' version of salvation was not pray after me, it was follow me. Come on, somebody. He said, follow me. And I'll make you to become fishers of men. So these men followed him out of their comfort zones into their everyday life that Jesus was. And he was healing the sick, preaching the gospel of the kingdom from village to village. And he was seeing the supernatural, the miraculous hand of God every single place that he went. Even much so, Jesus told him this. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, Jesus wasn't saying that he was homeless. Jesus was simply saying that as an itinerant minister, the call of God upon my life, you're going to be sleeping in a different place every single day. And if those of you that have ever traveled, and you know hotels are fun unless you have to stay in a different one every day. Come on, somebody. That's not fun for anybody. But here's the thing. Jesus was saying, if you're looking for stability and comfort in your walk with God, you're not going to find it in this ministry because I'm going to travel and do those types of things. There was another man where Jesus told him, he said, the man said, Jesus, I will follow you, but first let me go back to my father and do what I have to do. And here's what Jesus said. He said, let the dead bury the dead. How insensitive. How insensitive. To Jesus to tell this man, let the dead bury the dead. Probably this man was entitled to some type of inheritance or some type of closure from his father's funeral. And so he was saying, Jesus, let me just fix this thing in my life and we'll tackle this. And so we're going to see exactly what Jesus is trying to tell us in this. But on the flip side, there's this man in Mark chapter 8 and chapter 9 on the other side of the sea. And Jesus is trying to get to this other side because there is ministry there. Matter of fact, the Gospel of Mark records that there is a man on the other side of the sea that is bound in fetters and chains, and he has been tormented by not one, not two, not three, but hundreds of thousands of demonic spirits, so much so that he called himself Legion. And so we see that Jesus comes to this man and all of those things, but right before this storm, right before this great deliverance of this man at Gadara who had been demon-possessed, right before this, watch this, there was a storm that happened out on the seashore, right? Now follow me. Storms happen to all of us. I want you to pay attention this morning. You see, there are people who will say that if you were really trusting God and you were really believing God and you were really doing everything you needed to do, then there wouldn't be any storms in your life. But I want to challenge you with our scripture in Matthew chapter 8 and show you some things. First of all, they were with Jesus. They were with Jesus. Number two, what we see in this passage is that they were in the will of God. How many of you know that if they were in the boat with Jesus and they were doing ministry, they were in the will of God? So there are people that will say all of these storms in your life. Job's friends tends to come out of the woods whenever there's storms in our life. You know the story of Job and how all these bad things happened to him. And here his friends come to comfort him and afflict him and said, oh, well, maybe you're the cause of all of this mess. Well, here's the thing. Not always. Can I tell you something? Sometimes storms come in your life not because you're out of the will of God. Sometimes storms come because you're in the will of God. Sometimes, I'm going to preach to this side. This side over here is quiet. Sometimes storms happen in our lives not because we're doing something wrong. Sometimes storms happen because we're doing something right. Come on, somebody. Sometimes these storms that pop up in our lives are oftentimes right before one of the greatest breakthroughs in our life. And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning, is that sometimes these storms come to discourage us, to detract us, and to keep us from pressing forward to the greater things of God. Listen, if there's a storm in your life, it's very possible that breakthrough is on the way. Very possible that a breakthrough is coming to your life. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had depression just hit you right out of the middle of nowhere? Have you ever had financial problems come? Just everything seemed to be right, and boom, right in the middle of a sudden, everything is turned upside down. One moment, your house is full of calmness and peace. The next moment, your house is full of chaos and calamity. Have you ever had some stuff happen all of a sudden? Let me tell you something. Pay attention. Because the enemy only sends storms in our life for one reason, to get us off of a course to fulfill the plan of God for our lives. The enemy only sends storms to get us off of the course so that we can't fulfill the plan of God for our lives. See, storms always strike fear into our hearts, and fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith makes you go forward. Fear makes you stand still. And the enemy wants to make you stand still this morning and not go forward into the purposes and plans of God. I want to look back at our text this morning and see some things that I believe will help us. Look with me back at Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, and let's read this together. One more time, it says, and now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and woke him up saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. One translation says, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So then the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? I want to focus on verse 24 for just a moment and let you see exactly what's going on here. Verse 24 says this, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. The very first thing about this storm that I want you to see this morning, number one, is that this was a sudden storm. Sudden storm. I'm talking about that stuff that hits you right out of bed in the morning. That stuff when everything in your life is supposed to be going normal, and all of a sudden, right there in the middle of nowhere, boom, right there in your face. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that if we could plan our storms, life would be a lot better? Get in the car, plan the vacation, and say, no, we're not going to go on that road because if we do, a tire's going to blow out, the radiator's going to explode, you know, something like that. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to take plan B. But how many of you know life isn't like that? You can't plan death. You can't plan destruction. You can't plan troubles in your life all the time. You can't always plan the inconvenient things in our lives that pop up that cause us to go through these storms. But the truth of the matter is the storms happen suddenly. I'm talking about those calls in the midnight hour where one moment you're sleeping suddenly and the next moment a phone call and a troubled voice on the other line changes everything. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Talking about those storms where everything's great on your job and you're making good money and you go into the office the next day and there's a layoff list on the wall. And one moment you find yourself in economic stability and the next moment you find yourself in the unemployment office. I'm talking about those things in the middle of the moment that sneak up on us. I'm talking about how you go in the doctor's office and you feel good one moment and one x-ray and one meeting away, you find out you have 6 months to live. I'm talking about a sudden storm. And this storm, it came suddenly to the disciples. They were minding their own business. Jesus was in the bow of the boat. He was asleep. And all of a sudden, boom, this storm came. Now, let me ask you a question. How should we respond when the storms of life come? The Bible says that they were instilled with fear. Can I tell you something? That is the plan of the enemy. I need you to hear me this morning. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Come on, somebody. I feel the authority of the Holy Ghost right now. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God has not caused his children to walk in fear. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what people have said, but I'm telling you right now, it's time to bury your feet in the sand and say, I'm planted on the promise of God. Even though, listen, if storms rage around me, I'm going to stand steadfast in my faith. I'm not going to be moved by what I see, but I'm going to stand in the promises of God. That's what the word wants us to do. Listen, in those moments of those sudden storms, because the truth is, if we could plan for them, we would. But we can't. In life, we do the best we can. We put money back in savings. We try to eat right. We do all of those things that we should do, come on, to make life go sudden. But sometimes things don't happen just as we plan them. And the enemy uses those moments in our lives to instill fear. But I want to draw out of this passage tonight some other things that I think will be a blessing to us as we look. Number one, it was a sudden storm, but number two, it was a seismic storm. I want you to see this. Look with me actually at verse number 24. Again, it says, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Then the disciples came and they woke him up. They said, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? It was a sudden storm, but it was also a seismic storm. What is a seismic storm? One translation in the Gospel of Mark says it was a vehement storm. In other words, what that means is it was a violent storm. Now, here's what I need you to see. These men were professional fishermen. They lived their lives in boats casting nets, okay? So here's what I want you to understand this morning. We're not talking about a little April shower that brings a May flower. We're not talking about a normal storm. This was something different. This was something that even struck fear in the hearts of people who are supposed to be professionals. Now, all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, from a soft, cool breeze to all of a sudden being overtaken with the violence of the winds and the waves. See, this storm had one assignment. It was to take them out and to frustrate the plans of God. Can I tell you something this morning? The enemy's not playing games with you. He's not trying to just make you cry. He ultimately wants to defeat your life. He wants you to backslide. He wants you to turn your back on God. He wants you to throw your faith out the window. He wants you to do all of those types of things because that is the plan of the enemy. His job is to get you off guard. It was a seismic storm. You know, there are things in life that we can handle. But then there are some things that kind of totally take us off track. My mind is taken back to Job this morning. Job was, the Bible said he was a righteous man. He never sinned against God with his lips. And the Bible says that every morning Job would wake up. This isn't even in my notes. I'm feeling this in my spirit today. He would wake up in the morning. He would make sacrifices for his kids because in case they messed up with God. And then here's what the scripture says. The thing that he feared the most came upon him. His fear opened the door to the enemy to attack his life. Come on, somebody. Fear is the opposite of faith. And while we're walking with God, standing on the promises of God, we need to know that even if the storms rage against my life, if Jesus is in my boat, I can't sink. Because at this moment, what we have to find is that they, for a second, had a faith crash. Because they should have known that even though the boat was shifty, they were in tow with the one that could walk on water. Think about that this morning. And can I tell you that no matter what you're going through, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, if you're saved, Jesus is in the middle of those storms with you. The Bible said he never leaves you or he never forsakes you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus will never leave us in the middle of our storm or our circumstance or our situation. It was a seismic storm. The Sea of Galilee is not real huge, not even real deep. But as this storm crashed through the seaside, his disciples turned fearful. I want you to see a couple things. First of all, number one, it was a sudden storm. And number two, it was a seismic storm. But number three, it was a satanic storm. It was a satanic storm. I want to look somewhere this morning, and I want to spend most of my time developing these thoughts in this next passage. Come on. The Bible says in verse number 26, it says, "But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' He arose, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him?'" I want to submit to you that this storm was a satanic storm. How can I say that? Because this storm was connected to purpose. Now, let me talk to you about storms for just a moment. Every storm that you go through in life is not satanic. Every storm is not satanic. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, number one, sometimes storms happen just because. Just because. I remember when we were living in Louisiana and we were driving home from Arkansas one Christmas break. So we were driving south down I-49, south of Shreveport. And all of a sudden, my phone did something it had never done before. it started beeping and going crazy, and it was just this alarm sounded. And so I did what you're not supposed to do when you're driving. I picked up my phone, I looked at it, and it said, tornado warning, take shelter immediately. Tornado spotted near Flatwoods, Louisiana. Guess where I was? Flatwoods. You know you're in Louisiana if it's a town called Flatwoods. Flatwoods. And so near the brink of illegal, I put the pedal to the metal and drove home quickly, chasing out of that storm to get home. Blondie was asleep. Kids were asleep. I remember they woke up. They said, wow, we got home quick. I said, yeah, because we sped and did our best to get out of this tornado. And I remember Aaron asked me, he said, Dad, why does God create tornadoes? And I had to take that moment and explain to him, son, we live in a fallen world. And every storm is not satanic, although we have dominion, but every storm is not satanic. That sometimes just a pocket of cold air hits a pocket of warm air and they mix together and stuff happens. Hurricanes happen, storms happen. Sometimes they just happen. How many of you know sometimes storms just happen? Sometimes storms just happen. They're natural because of just the fallen world. Number two, sometimes storms happen because you caused them. I'm about to bust some religious bubbles in here this morning. I hate cliches. I hate blanket statements. Sometimes people say things like this, well, bless God, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes that reason is your stupidity. If the speed limit is 55 and you're going 70 and you get pulled over and you get a $250 citation, you have no authority to rebuke the devil. Come on, somebody. If you are breaking the law, that is not persecution. If you are operating outside God-given laws and jurisdictions and you find yourself with your hand in the cookie jar, that is not the devil. We're not going to fast about it. We're not going to pray about it. That's not a spiritual attack. Come on, somebody. That's called the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, you can pray for crop failure, but the law is, if you plant it, it's coming to harvest. Come on now. Sometimes storms happen in our lives because we're the ones that caused them. Talk to people sometimes with marriage, and their marriage is falling apart. So I talk to them together, then I talk to them individually, and it comes to be that they both treat each other like dirt. Come on. You can't talk to her this way and expect her to honor you, and you can't talk to him this way and expect this result. That is a self-inflicted storm. Talk to people with all types of financial problems. They won't tithe. They won't budget. They'll pay for Netflix, but they won't budget. They won't do anything. And then they want a breakthrough. The breakthrough you need is in a pen and a paper and a calculator and be a good steward with what you already have. Come on, somebody. Somebody told me one time, they said, they don't care how pretty the machine is, if it's out of order, nothing's coming out of it. Sometimes storms happen just because we cause them. Here's another one. Some storms are storms that other people have caused. Sometimes you don't just reap what you sow, but sometimes you reap what other people sow. Because there are things that have happened in my life that I didn't do, but it happened to me directly because somebody else caused it. Can't help that. But there are some storms that are sent from Satan himself. So why did this storm come up in Matthew chapter 8? It came to distract Jesus from his purpose. There was a man on the other side of the seashore that needed deliverance. Watch me. Jesus was very sensitive to his Father. Jesus, oftentimes, you saw him retreat to a secret place to pray, which, by the way, side note, if the Son of God needed to pray, you might need to also. Jesus got alone to his Father and he prayed, and Jesus makes this statement. He said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. Jesus gets his disciples in a boat and he says, let's cross over into the other side. Jesus reclines back into a rested position, and all of a sudden, this seismic sudden storm pops up right in the middle. The disciples are fearful. They wake up Jesus and they say, Jesus, would you do something? Don't you care? Jesus got up. He rebuked the storm. I picture him going back to sleep. Because when we're awake in our storm, Jesus isn't. He's not fretting. Come on. And so watch it. There's a man on the other side who needs help. So I've got to ask myself the question, why did this storm pop up at this moment? Because satanic storms always pop up right at the brink of a breakthrough. Right at the brink of a breakthrough. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're going through something right now and there's no explanation for it and you can't figure out why in the world this is, you didn't cause it, there's nothing going on, anything like that. Let me tell you, just let me let you in on a little secret. If things are going wrong in your life and you can't figure out why, you might be closer to a miracle than you think you are. The key is not to get fearful in the boat. So watch this. The disciples wake up Jesus, and Jesus rebukes the storm, and then he rebukes subtly the disciples, and they get to this place where there's a man at Gadara. Jesus prays for this man. This man is gloriously delivered. He gets back into his right mind. He was cutting himself. He was living among the tombs, the graveyard. His society had banished him in utter isolation because they could not help his situation. But Jesus came and set him free. This storm came in Jesus and the disciples' life to keep them from reaching their full potential. Do you know God has a full potential for your life? He has something for you to do. He's got an assignment, something great that'll affect other people. And if the enemy knows that if he can affect you, then he can affect all of those that'll be around you and under you. So watch this. This is something that we miss in this story. Because how many of you want to be able to steal the storms in your life? Come on. Let me ask you a question. How many of you saved in here this morning? Born again. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Washed in the blood of Jesus. We read over the scripture too fast sometimes. These disciples were students of Jesus. They walked with him. They ate with him. They took journeys with him. He gave them authority. He gave them power. He gave them dominion. He told them, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. They watched him walk on water. They watched him heal the blind. They watched him spit in people's eyes and they were healed. Deaf ears open, crippled arms straight. They watched all of these things. And then in the middle of the storm, all of that faith went out the window. Isn't it interesting that when we come into a church service like this, we can sing, mighty God, oh, what a mighty God. We can sing, how great he is. He's our healer. He's our deliverer. He can do anything. He can heal. He can provide. But the moment sometimes storms hit our life, all of a sudden, mighty God can't pay the light bill. Mighty God can't pay the rent. Mighty God can't do anything because fear comes to frustrate your faith. But watch this. We miss this in the passage. To me, this is so centered. It's so centered in this passage that we can't miss it. Go back with me and look. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 25. Then his disciples came to him and they woke him saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. One translation says, Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? In other words, they are questioning the care and compassion of God in this verse. But look what Jesus said in verse 26. But he said to them, number one, why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I don't want you to miss this right here, because we focus so much on the fact that Jesus rebuked the winds and the waves, we miss the fact that he rebuked the disciples. This was a rebuke. It was a soft one. It was a loving one. It was a gentle one. But it was a rebuke. Jesus asked them, he says, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Why was this a rebuke? Because Jesus had already told them they have authority over unclean spirits. Jesus had already told them that they had authority to go in his name. And here's the thing. I believe these disciples could have rebuked this storm and it would have obeyed them. That's scripture. He gave them the authority to speak into their storms. But they became fearful. They became paralyzed. And they woke up Jesus. He said, hold up, guys. Why are you afraid? Don't you know who I am? I'm the living word. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Don't you know who I am? I'm the God who created all of this. And I've given you authority to go out in my name. And here I am. This storm is coming in your life. And you're fearful. Why are you afraid? Then Jesus said, why is it that you have so little faith? So Jesus got up. He rebuked the winds, the sea, and there was a great calm. I want you to know something. The disciples were fearful, but they did do the right thing. They woke up Jesus. They woke up Jesus. But what do we do in our storm? If Jesus is not in, if Jesus is not with us physically here, but Jesus is in heaven. If Jesus is in heaven and the power of the Holy Spirit lives in our life. And Jesus in the middle of our storm, what do we do? I'm going to give you a nugget of truth this morning. If you don't shout over this, you might be Presbyterian. John chapter 1 verse 1. Says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was the beginning. And then John 1:14 said, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among them. So do you know what the disciples did when they woke up Jesus, and it applies to our life? They woke up Jesus. But we can wake up the Word. Come on, somebody. We can wake up the Word. What do you do in the middle of your storm? When there's storms of things in your life and things are happening. You know, Jesus is not there physically, but he's left us his Word. Come on now. That'll preach. That'll preach right there. Listen, in a storm of marital difficulty, you can wake up the Word that says in Matthew 9, 6, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Come on, you can wake up the Word in your situation. When you're in a storm of financial struggle and it looks like the whole world is collapsing around you economically, as a tither, you can hold on to the Word in Malachi chapter 3 that says, Lord, you'll rebuke the devourer for my sake. Woo, come on now. What do you do when the enemy's storms of fiery darts come against us from every angle, from every obstacle, when it seems like we can't catch a break? You can quote the Word in Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Come on, somebody. He didn't say that it wouldn't fire. He just said it wouldn't work. Come on now. When the storm of anxiety blows against your life, you can wake up the word in Isaiah 26:3 that says, "He'll keep my mind in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." How do you rebuke a storm in the middle of a circumstance where the doctor has said, "This is what's going on in your body"? You can wake up Jesus in the middle of that storm by waking up 1 Peter 2:24, which says, "By his stripes we are healed." Come on, somebody. That's why it's important today to know the word of God. That's why it's important today to know what God's word says about your circumstance. Because listen, the devil has a storm, but God's word has a solution. And there's not anything that you're going through in your life if there's not some word in that scripture where God can produce a rhema word in your life and you can grab onto it and say, "Devil, not today. You've had enough in my life. I'm not going through this. I'm not doing this. Listen, I might be in a storm, but Jesus is in this storm with me." Hallelujah. Come on, it's time as the people of God that we rise up to a new level of faith and say, "You know what? Though the winds may blow, though the waves may come crashing in, I'm in the boat with Jesus, and if I sink, he's going to sink with me." And that's impossible. Come on now. How can you sink when your lifeguard walks on water? How do you respond when circumstances come to your life? At that moment, you need to muster up the faith to say, "Not today, devil. Not today." Romans 10:17 says, "Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God." Jesus is the word. They woke up Jesus in the middle of the storm, which was okay, but they didn't realize he had already given them the authority. And I want you to know something, that we have the authority. He said, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name," but he says, "Now whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do for you." How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. I just wonder today if there's anybody in this room dealing with storms in your life. Storms that have come suddenly, out of nowhere, unexplainable. You've got to ask yourself the question, what is the enemy trying to stop in your life? One of the worst things that you can do, listen to me, one of the worst things that you can do is break down on the way to your breakthrough. Don't break down on the way to your breakthrough. You see, what we see in Scripture, we see two paradigms here. I want you to see this, because I cannot preach this today without giving you the other side of the equation. I'm not going to tell you today that God is going to deliver you from every storm, because that doesn't line up with the totality of Scripture. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, in Matthew 8, we see the disciples delivered from the storm. And in the book of Daniel, we see three Hebrew children that are delivered through the storm. You see, Nebuchadnezzar had told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, if you don't bow, then you'll burn. So they heated up the fire 7 times hotter. And they said, "O king, we will not bow. Our God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we still not bowing to you." And you know what? They got thrown in the fire, but the Son of Man got in the fire with them. See, sometimes God will stop the storm. Other times, he'll give you the strength and victory to walk through it. But if you walk through the storm like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you might go through the fire, but you won't be burned. And God wants to get the glory and the victory out of our lives. The thing that we have to get is not to stop too short of the victory. Stand with me this morning. Stand with me this morning. Some of you in this room, I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost. Some of you in this room today, you're going through circumstances and situations and you're fearful. You're fearful. You've been in church your whole life, but you're fearful. Today, I want to challenge you to, number one, realize that Jesus is in the boat with you. Number two, I want you to realize that He's given you promises of victory. And that if God has given you a promise, you can hold on to it. That promise is the anchor in the middle of the storm. If you hold on to the promises of God, God will see you through. Let me tell you something, church, as we're getting ready to close and we're going to minister to people this morning. Do you know something? On our worst day as a human, as a child of God, even if the devil can kill you, you're still going to heaven. Come on. I mean, we don't need to fear the plans of the enemy. We need to stake our confidence in the promises of God. Bow your head, close your eyes with me all across this room. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but I know there's some people here. You're going through a storm. It may be a storm in your physical body. You need healed. Matter of fact, there's a baby here who needs prayer this morning. You may be here this morning. You're going through a financial storm. You have no idea how you're going to pay your bills. You may be here this morning. You're going through a marriage storm. Everybody may think everything's okay, but you know, and God knows, and everybody else knows, it's not that rosy at home. I don't care what you're going through, and I don't care to ask you all the details, but what I want to do this morning is agree with you in prayer, because there is a God who can meet your needs this morning. And I believe this morning that if you'll not be fearful, but you'll wake up, hypothetically, you'll wake up Jesus in your boat, wake up the Word and say, God, I know that we're perishing, but I got your Word on it. I know this morning God will meet you right where you are. Heads bowed and eyes closed. First of all, I want to pray before I ask you to come. If there's somebody here this morning, you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come and give your life to Christ. The ultimate storm comes when we don't know Jesus. And the other side of eternity is that lake of fire called hell. And Jesus died a gruesome death so that you can be born again and have a relationship with Him. You got to confess that He's Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. The Scripture says you shall be saved. Follow Jesus. Turn from your old life and follow Him. He'll lead you all the way home. Nobody looking around. You're here this morning. You say, Pastor Brad, I need to know that I'm saved and I'm born again and that my relationship with God is where it needs to be. On the count of three, just really quickly, lift up your hand. I'd like to pray for you. I need to be saved today. You ready? One, two, three. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Heads bowed, eyes still closed. If you're here right now, you say, Pastor, you're preaching to me this morning. I'm in a storm, and I'll admit to you, I'm fearful, and I don't know what to do, and I need Jesus in my life, in this circumstance, in this situation. I want you to slip up your hand right now. That's me. I need God. I need God's wisdom. I need God's grace. Come on. I see hands all over this side of the building. Anybody else? I need the wisdom of God. I'm in a storm right now. Maybe there's somebody here, you're in a storm with one of your children. You say, God, I need to know what to do. Come on. There's a holy moment right now. There's going to be people come in just a moment that are going to agree with you in prayer. And we're going to pray until the victory of God comes in your life. If you need healing, you can leave healed today. Hallelujah. Who else? Slip those hands up high. I'm going to ask them to begin to play, and I'm going to count to three. If I get some prayer workers, some men and some women to come, and we're going to pray with these that come to the front this morning, and we just want to agree with them in prayer. And as you come, I don't want you to kneel right now. I want you to come and lift up your hands to heaven. I want you to come and just lift up your hands to heaven. And church, those of you that are staying here this morning in your seat, I want you to engage with us and lift your hands towards these people and agree with us in prayer. Come on the count of three, if you raise your hand, come on. 1, 2, 3. Hands are all over this building. You're in a storm right now. Come on, we see you, man. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Just lift those hands to heaven. Just lift them to heaven. I need a breakthrough right now. I need to know the plan of God for my life. We're going to get some answers today. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and just ask God to steal this storm. Let's take authority over the waves in our lives. Come on. Just lift them up to heaven this morning. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.